So you have your Bibles. Go to Proverbs chapter 2 for tonight. Title of tonight's message, The Three Knots, N-O-T-S, The Three Knots, plural, of Christian Living. Just kind of a simple yet profound truth from the Bible to encourage us in our walk with the Lord. Trust that we're all saved by grace. We receive it, the gift of salvation by faith alone in Jesus Christ. It's a personal Lord and Savior. It starts with salvation. And then after that, to grow in our knowledge, to grow in grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 2, the three knots of Christian living, just to kind of keep it simple, you know, for myself, you know, just keep in mind, no matter the circumstances, no matter how things are going, no matter how the world is, no matter if I'm up or I'm down, if I feel like it or not, if I'm in season, if I'm out of season, the three rules of thumbs, if you will, or the three knots, we'll get to each one in sequence. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Let's go to verse 1. We'll start here. Word of God says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." This, of course, the context, Solomon speaking to his son, writing to his son, but of course speaking and teaching to his son. Doesn't say it here, but I'd like to believe like King David did to him, now him to his son, and Solomon giving some fatherly advice to his son. I always kind of think of that coming of age time, you know, and Solomon, of course, had been personally blessed by God beyond abundant. I mean, it was just kind of off the charts there. And he wanted the same for his son, you know. And again, Solomon's blessing from God, even though he had all this gold and all this wealth, all this fame, all this glory, it all stemmed from a very humble ask. He had a tender heart. He knew he had big shoes to fill. And in King David, I mean, imagine, you know, your dad is King David. And you're like, man, I mean, this is King David, a legendary King David. How am I going to live up to half his renown, you know? And so Solomon, of course, asking, he did as best as he could, you know, with the sacrifices. I can do that. I can give. I might not be good anywhere else, but I can give. I can serve. I can be faithful. And of course, God comes to him in a dream at night, and he says, "What would you like?" And instead of asking for the lives of his enemies, you know, we know the story. He asked for an understanding heart, you know, and it shows his humility. He knows that not just he's humble, but it shows that he's in his view of himself, he's unable to lead such greater people, not just the multitude in numbers, but just who they are. Like, "Lord, I can't do this. I need you. Give me an understanding heart. I'm the king by no work of my own. My dad, David, he's the one that anointed me king. Didn't have to be me, but he chose me. Lord, I need your grace so I can lead. Give me understanding heart, i.e. wisdom." Of course, then the wisdom of Solomon, God blessed him. And so because of that simple ask for wisdom, he got everything else. Now, that's kind of an aha that he hopes his son would get this. You know, the wisdom is the source. Everything else was just the result of that, right? Of course, the whole Word of God is wisdom. And so the book of Proverbs is wisdom personified. And so that's his desire. He wants the same for his son. And I always think the son is, you know, a young adult, maybe young man coming of age, you know, going to launch out into his own life and do his own thing, heading out to the world. And so his giving that father-son pep talk, you know, "Son, keep these truths close to your heart." Understanding, of course, for us, having the mindset, our perception of Scripture, this is, of course, God's holy word. It is God's mind. It's God's heart. It's God's plan. It's God's desire for us. It's truth. It's wisdom. And we don't inherently, you know, we don't inherently automatically know these truths when we get saved. But we've got to grow in it. We have to seek it. We have to receive it. And if we treasure it, verse 5, kicks in, which is kind of the punchline here. And so it's, if I could, not to say summarize or distill, but the idea is just, at least for tonight, to just to kind of keep it simple for myself, for ourselves, if I can just focus on the three nots or do nots of the Bible to encourage us as we live for God, you know, no matter our personal circumstances, no matter how things are going, good or bad, may that be our heart's desire to always seek and treasure and receive the wisdom of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house, Lord. I think even now of your wonderful word that we hold in our hands, Lord, just pure wisdom from above. Lord, help us to have tender hearts. Lord, help me to be like this son, and it's Solomon to his son, but Father, it's you to us. For all who are saved, we are your child. And so, Lord, help us to incline our ear unto wisdom. Help me to apply my heart to understanding. Help me to cry after knowledge and lift up my voice for understanding and seek wisdom, your knowledge, your truth as silver, and search for it more than hid treasures, Lord. Help me to do this, Lord, to know the fear of God and to find the knowledge of God, Lord. What a blessing, Lord. And so help me, Lord, not to be weary in well-doing. Help me to treasure your word and to live it and to rejoice in it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so to kind of keep it simple, the first not for us, fear not. The first not, fear not. Always trust in God. Always trust in his plan. No matter how, quote unquote, bad things may look, no matter how horrible things may get, always trust in the Lord. You know, never fear, don't fear. If you go to chapter 3 in Proverbs, and in verse 25, now, you know, again, this whole thing is one lengthy lesson to Solomon's son. But if you go to Proverbs chapter 3, let's go to verse 25. And the word of God says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Fear has a horrible thing of being unannounced, like a jump scare, only it's for real, okay? And it comes like, you know, like a lion, it springs out and like an ambush. We don't see it coming. But notice what it says here. It says when it cometh. It doesn't say if it cometh. It says when it cometh. And if there's something a dad could say to his son to prepare him for life, is that, son, bad times will come. I mean, we'll have good days. Praise God for that. But there's going to be times where things that we don't want to happen will happen. You know, from getting sick to losing a job to losing a loved one. I mean, you name it. Bad things can happen and will happen. In fact, I think of in the New Testament, the story of Jairus' daughter. Of course, she was sick unto death. We know that story. And a desperate dad, of course, he comes to find Jesus. And then, of course, he's told during the process. And in fact, he did great. Jesus says, all right, we'll go. And so, Jesus responds to faith. Dad had the faith, and so they were walking. Jesus was coming, and all things were going according to plan. Getting the daughter being sick was undesirable. That was not part of the plan. But getting Jesus to come, that worked out. That's great. But then while they were en route, of course, we know the story, one from his house came and said, oh, I don't know how to say this, but your daughter passed away. So trouble the master no more. Don't have to trouble him. Your daughter's dead, so he doesn't have to come. And of course, to the shock of dad hearing those words, Jesus, remember what Jesus said to dad? Jesus said, fear not, believe only. Obviously, Jesus meant believe in him. Okay, not the messenger. Okay, the idea was fear not, believe only. And Jairus, at that crucial intersection of his life, he had the choice to believe the words of the messenger, who certainly seemed like he was telling the truth, and he believed it to be true, that his daughter was dead, or he could believe in Jesus, which told him, fear not, it's going to be okay, just believe. Of course, we know the story. He believes and he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, I want to believe in Jesus. He says, okay, it's good enough for me, you're trusting on me, even for your unbelief, let's go. And I mean, that's a wonderful miracle, praise the Lord. But we always have the choice, just like desperate dad, to believe the words that others tell us, to believe the words that I can even tell myself, or to believe the words that Jesus tells us. Fear not, only believe, or believe only. In fact, faith in God, believing in God, is the opposite of fear in man. and the fear in our circumstances. And ironically, our faith in God comes from our fear in the Lord. In fact, that's what Proverbs 2, verse 5 tells us. If we do verse 1, 2, 3, 4 of Proverbs chapter 2, and then verse 5 kicks in, then shalt thou understand the what? Fear of the Lord. To really get it. And so, if I truly have wisdom the way God wants me to have, divine wisdom, I would fear the Lord the way I should and find the knowledge of God. If you go to chapter 1 of Proverbs, verse 7, notice what it says here. And this is pretty much how, you know, Solomon kicks off his teaching to his son. It says, son, doesn't say son, but I'm just putting it in. But the idea is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What's the context here? Solomon is saying, he's not just stating a fact. Solomon is saying, son, please fear the Lord. Please fear him. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. More than just making a statement, what's dad saying to his son? Solomon is saying, son, please fear the Lord. Don't be a fool. Don't harden your heart against the instruction of wisdom. Receive it. Seek it like treasure. You know, treasure it. And so that's his challenge. The fear of the Lord, that is the understanding of God's sovereignty and absolute authority. And especially from you quote unquote a sovereign, because Solomon's a king in his own right, okay? Speaking to his son, I don't know if this is Rehoboam, the future king. Maybe it's another one of his, I don't know, thousands of, oh, well, another one of his sons, okay? But the idea he's saying, as mighty as we are, Grandpa David, my dad, sat on the throne of Israel. I sit on the throne of Israel. One day, son, you will be on the throne of Israel. But there is one king above all kings, the King of Kings, the Lord Almighty. He is the sovereign God and the ruler of the universe. He is the absolute authority. I mean, so coming from a king, I mean, really puts in perspective, says, fear the Lord. When we have the fear of God, we know that he is absolutely sovereign and absolutely in control. That is the beginning of wisdom. And when we know that God is in control, this gives us comfort. It gives us comfort. It kind of got me thinking here, how can the fear of the Lord give us comfort at the same time? Because fear is not reverence, but fear leads to reverence. You know, fearing the Lord is not reverencing the Lord, but it leads to reverencing the Lord. Fear is fear. And the idea is, I try to put it in simple terms for myself, and it was just the other day, I was just driving, minding my own business, going 10 over the speed limit, okay? And then around the corner, or maybe up on a hill, then I see the police car waiting in the median, right? And I'm like, oh, and I just, first things first, is like, don't freak out, act casual. I, instead of hitting the brake and having the car tip forward, you know, I just kind of ease off the gas pedal, it kind of slow down just to 5 over, then I just stay with the rest of the traffic, and then just cruise on by, and I don't even try to look at the cops, I don't make eye contact, I just try to act cool, like I got nothing to be afraid of, even though I'm, and then I pass by, and then the cop pulls out, I'm like, you know, and I start thinking, okay, what the tickets run? And the last time I got a ticket, it was $180, and it was, I don't know, 20 years ago. I'm not sure what the going rate is. I don't want to find out. And so, and then the cop comes, and then at some point, I get a cold sweat. I'm like, oh, this is so embarrassing, because out of all the speeders, he's going to pull me out, or make me pull over. But then he just passes me. And then I go, whew, all right. But it got me thinking, that cold sweat that I had when I got busted by the authority, I had the fear of the cop, okay? I had the fear of the cop. I was afraid because I was in the wrong. Now, on the flip side, if we are ever in a dangerous situation, it's the presence of the cop, the police, that would bring me comfort, right? I mean, just knowing that they're there, you know, in the scene of a crime or something that might happen. And, you know, my sister-in-law, she was door dashing the other night. Was it last week? I don't know. and had a suspicious delivery. Don't know if it was a scam. She got kind of freaked out. And there's a way you can notify on the app, well, I don't feel quite safe here. And then they dispatched a police officer, I guess, to kind of tag along with her. And then just knowing that the police officer was there gave her great comfort. And to be honest, I mean, if I was a bad guy, if I was going to jump on someone, if I see the cop over there, guess what? I won't. I'm just saying. I mean, just what, you know. And the idea is that the presence of the law enforcement officer gave her comfort. Now, on one hand, I had the fear of the cop, and I was speeding. Like, please don't pull me over. But on the other hand, in a bad situation, oh, I'm so glad the police is there. Kind of reminds me, too, growing up, I had the fear of my dad. I did fear, Bible says, rod of correction. He had his belt of correction. So I did fear his belt of correction. But on that same token, there was no safer place that I would feel than being by my dad when I was, if I had a nightmare, if I was scared, I knew where to go. Just come crawling into bed. My dad would be sleeping. And so he doesn't even have to wake up. He doesn't even know I'm freaking out. But if I was a little kid and I had a nightmare, I'd just be by him, and I would feel so safe to be by his presence, even though I had the fear of my dad when I was in the wrong. But I always knew my dad loved me. In fact, God is our Father. He is our sovereign King. But if you're saved as a child of God, he is your loving Father, and he deals with us as children. So there's that fear, but there's also that comfort. And I remember even as a child, being close to my dad, I was too observant, I don't know. Every 3 breaths of mine was one of his. And his slow breathing always comforted me. I could see his back, you know, he stepped on his front, so he'd always have his back up. Are you okay, Dad? Down. Okay. He's okay. And so as a kid, my fast metabolism, you know, but his slow breathing always comforted me. I do miss my dad, but I was very thankful for his presence. And so the fear of God, knowing that God loves us, we don't have to fear anything going forward. Fear not. God is our sovereign King, but he is also our loving Father. Psalm 112, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Blessed means happy. And only in the scripture do you find these play on words where you win by surrendering. We have victory by yielding. And we have joy, happiness, blessings by fearing the Lord. That's amazing because of who he is. Psalm 128, verse 1 says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of knowledge. It starts there. Fear not. And the way we don't fear is by actually fearing God. When we fear God, we won't fear anyone else. Well, that's a blessing. Second not, forsake not. Forsake not. In case you haven't guessed, it's all 3 F words, okay? So it's fear not, and then forsake not. In other words, keep doing God's will no matter what. Let's go to Proverbs. Well, we're right here. We didn't turn off. But go to verse 8 with me, chapter 1, and then verse 8. And so Solomon continues to tell his son, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. To forsake means to abandon something that we previously had, okay, to discard it. You once had it, but then you're done with it, you toss it away. To discard it, disregard it, to shelve it, to not use it anymore. And so don't forsake it. And so Solomon is telling his son, this is how God's wisdom has blessed me. All I ever have, you look around, this kingdom of gold. Son, look at my treasure room. You open the door, you're going to get, you know, drowned by gold coins, okay? I mean, all this comes by the grace of God because I asked for wisdom. And all the glory came from it, with it, as a result, okay? But son, don't forsake the instruction I've given it to you. Take it to heart. Don't forsake what mom has taught you. Don't forsake what I have taught you. The opposite of forsaking, of course, is to remain faithful. I think of marriage vows. We're going to a wedding on tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. But marriage vows, and those always get me going. You know, I think of even though it's so generic, it's stood the test of time and really hasn't needed to change because it's so solid the way it's typically written, to cherish and to honor, to have and to hold. This is husband and wife to each other. From this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness or in health, forsaking all others and keeping yourself only for your spouse, right? Till death do you part. Amen. That's wonderful. That's great. Always do what God wants us to do, even if I don't feel like it. Okay, keep trusting God. Keep praying. Keep reading your Bible. Keep coming to church. Keep witnessing, not just if I don't feel like it, but even when I don't feel like it, because this flesh will never want to do what God wants me to do. But our soul always cleave to that spirit, yield to the spirit of God that wants to always obey the Lord. Don't forsake God's word. God will never forsake us. In fact, chapter 4 of Proverbs, chapter 4, and then verse 2, for I give you good doctrine. That's the teaching of God. Forsake ye not my law. And then how about chapter 6? I mean, that is kind of the theme, because if the son is going to forsake it, what's the point of even sharing it? Might as well not share it. I mean, it goes hand in hand. And so Proverbs 6 and then verse 20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandment. Forsake not the law of thy mother. I mean, it's Solomon knows everyone has their own will. If the son wants to forsake it, he could. No one can stop him. But he's pleading, don't do it. Bind them continually upon thine heart. In other words, don't let your heart be enamored by anything else that's not of God. And tie them about thy neck. Put it on, never take it off. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. This is awesome. As his son comes of age and has his own life, he says, son, whenever you come to a crossroad in life, you're wondering, huh, should I go left, should I go right? If you have God's wisdom in your heart, around your neck, he'll lead you. Like, I'll go this way. Sorry, guys, I can't do that. I gotta bow out. I don't do that. Go this way. I mean, it would when sinners entice thee, if you have God's word in your heart around your neck, you will consent not, right? There's another not, consent not. But again, goes hand in hand with forsake not. Bind them when thou goest, it shall, not if thou goest, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. That's a blessing. Praise God. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. That is amazing. God's word, of course, the living word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, he brings back to remembrance. And this is how our spirit, of you know, God convicts us, and he bears witness with our spirit when through his word. And we have a decision to make. Oh, what shall I do? And God's law around our hearts, bound to our heart, around our neck, speaks to us. That's wonderful. Yield to it. Don't be that fool in Proverbs 1 that hates instruction. Be a wise man. Be a good son. Be honoring God and obey the word of God. Verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp, son. I'm not going to always be there to whip you, but no, I'm not always going to be there to hold your hand. But the word of God will guide you, will speak to you. And the law is light. I can't always go with you. But you take the word of God in your heart. The word of God will always speak to you and guide you. And reproofs are instructions, of instructions are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman. Now, she pictures sin, but it's enticing sin. From the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. If you don't have God's word bound in your heart and around your neck, you're gonna fall for it. Don't do that, son. First knot is fear not. Don't have to ever fear as a child of God, no matter circumstances. Second knot is forsake not. The third knot, forget not. Forget not. Of course, keep remembering God and his blessings. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, keep it in the forefront of our minds. Let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 2. Psalm 103, let's go to verse 2. And the word of God says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Of course, Thanksgiving is coming up. And of course, like any day, we should always give thanks to the Lord. But of course, this Thanksgiving, may we truly, truly, really, really count our blessings, truly be thankful for the blessings we have. The greatest, of course, is our salvation. If you're happy you're saved now, wait till we get to heaven. That is going to be amazing. In fact, verse 3 kind of dovetails right into that. Who forgiveth all means all, thine iniquities. Hallelujah. Who healeth all thy diseases. Yes, God does heal us physically, but this is speaking in spiritual context. You know, all that rottenness, okay, putrid wounds and sores from the sole of my feet to the top of my head. Okay, the description that scripture tells about how gross we are because of sin. God has healed us from that. He has saved us. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? This is wonderful. One of my favorite hymns, Victory in Jesus. Amen. My Savior forever. And when it says crowneth here, the idea is that victory, like the medaling ceremony. You know, you get the gold medal, you're crowned victor. Victory in Jesus, of course, double meaning. It also means royalty that gets the crown. And so that's amazing. That is so awesome. He gives us the victory with loving kindness, with tender mercies. We're saved forever, forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, born again into God's family as a child of the King. We are more than conquerors. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a mansion in heaven waiting for me, to get there. And then even now, on this side of glory, I have the earnest of the indwelling Holy Spirit in me right now. That's awesome. God provides us exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, not just then, but even now. God has blessed us more than we can even comprehend. If you want to take a sneak peek at the resurrection to come for you and I as believers, let's go to Psalm 16. Jesus, of course, fulfilled this. But let's go to, he's the first fruit of the resurrection, and all of us would follow suit. But as he was risen to glory, so shall we. And so let's go to Psalm 16. This is the prophecy that Jesus fulfills. It's a messianic psalm with a prophecy in verse 9. Psalm 16, verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Because we know we're going to get an incorruptible and immortal body. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, the place of the departed here. That's what it means. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. We're not just going to live forever in heaven with decaying bodies. We're going to have glorified bodies, perfected bodies, immortal bodies. That's amazing. Thou wilt show, and so when we get to glory, okay, when we die, get to glory, get to heaven, thou wilt show me the path of life. This is how it all culminates and ends. In thy what? Presence. To be in the presence of God. That is amazing. Sin, of course, Adam and Eve were kicked out because of sin. You and I were born into a world of sin. But one day we will go back to the presence of God. And in his presence is what? Fullness of joy. Joy to the max. Joy that cannot have any more joy. I mean, right now, even at our most joyous time, that's just a drop in the bucket of being in the presence of God. At thy right hand, there are what? Pleasures for how long? Evermore. That's awesome. Don't forget. The joy of being saved. The best is yet to come. Fear not. Don't have to fear. If you're a child of God, don't have to ever fear. God takes care of you. Don't forsake. Forsake not. Just keep doing what God wants us to do. Just be faithful unto the end. He is Jesus Christ, after all, our heavenly bridegroom. We are betrothed to him. And then number 3, forget not. Forget not his benefits, the blessings that he's given to us. What a blessing. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought, Lord. Just how amazing you are to save us from our sins. And not just the horrors of hell that we rightfully deserve, but the glories of heaven and the blessings that await us, Lord. That is mind-blowing, Lord. And you know, even the Apostle Paul, when he even in a vision, he saw it, Lord. But it would have been not lawful for him to kind of dumb it down by describing it to us. Lord, that is amazing, Lord. I'm just so thankful for your grace. Help me, Lord, as a child of God to hear instruction, to fear you, Lord, to bind your truth upon my heart around my neck. Lord, help me not to be foolish and hate instruction. Help me, Lord, to make all my decisions as I hear your word speaking to me on what to do, how to do it, how to face what's going on. Lord, help me to just trust in you. And I think even of a desperate dad, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And so, Lord, we trust you in all things, even what I can't and what I fall short. Even then I trust you for my shortcomings, Lord. And I just love you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. May tonight's prayer time be a sweet fragrance to your nostrils, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.